Welcome to the Every Day is Saturday podcast, the number one motivation show on the planet.
No more Mondays for you. It's time to make every day Saturday. Boom!
This is the podcast where we help you to accept who you are, not where you are.
On the roller coaster of life, you know we only sit in the front seat, champion. So make sure you are fastened in. Hi. Let's go.
Tired of feeling run down all the time during the week? We can help you make every day feel like it's a Saturday.
Let's go pack your bags. It's time to leave Averageville.
Introducing the man who thinks abnormal stands for above normal.
When you're on fire, people will travel from miles around to watch you burn, baby. We are fired up.
The host of the Every Day is Saturday show, Sam Crowley.
Welcome back to the Everyday Saturday podcast, back and better than ever. It's Sam Crowley, March 10th, a big hearty hello to everybody in over 100 countries around the world. It's great to have you on the number one motivational podcast on the planet. Wherever you are, no matter what time of day it is Saturday. True or true? Hey, let's get after it. I want to talk about what having a job means and how much it holds you back in every phase of your life. And I want to equate it to what's been happening in our life over the past 7 months and show you everything, the cost that not having freedom represents. Now, for those of you who absolutely love your job and you can't wait to get there and you jump out of bed, feet hit the floor, race into the coffee pots, I can't wait to go take orders. This show may not be for you unless you're just tuning in for the entertainment value, which is extremely high. We certainly don't want to discount that, but I just want to let you know this is going to be a pro-entrepreneurial show. It shouldn't be any. I mean, I can't imagine there's anybody out there that loves their job, that listens to this show and says, I don't want to listen to him anymore because he just doesn't add any value to my life. All right, so we had a baby, another baby, our fourth baby, five, if you count our baby boy we lost to 20 weeks in 2000, Matthew, born April 19th, 2000, 15 years ago next month. Wow. Wow, 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 wow. It was our very first child we delivered, but unfortunately, he didn't make it. Came into the world at 20 weeks, and they wrapped him up, gave him to us, we held him, and then we had to give him back. And then we had Madeline on her due date, Laura on her due date, Paigey on her due date, all perfect births, all went off without a hitch, okay? Then this past year, August of 2014, August 17th, our baby Susan came into the world 24 weeks. She was 16 weeks premature, weighing just 1 pound. Now, had I had a job, I don't even know. My wife and I talk about this a lot. She, can you imagine if you still had a job, what would we have done? Because our kids were still, and let me just walk you through this, okay? And you can equate this to whatever is going on in your life. You don't have to have kids to relate to this show, all right? You don't have to be a speaker, for example, to relate to the show. Let me just talk to you about what freedom has meant in my life, and I want you to put this into your life, whatever it means, the cost that you're paying by not being free, okay? My wife was on bed rest the entire month of July, beginning July 1st all the way till August 10th when she was taken to via ambulance to UC Medical Center to lie in bed for a week before our baby Susan was born, lying in bed for a week without any amniotic fluid, mind you, okay? That's why our daughter has chronic lung disease, is because really the sole purpose of amniotic fluid inside the sac is to develop lungs. Once that's gone, the lungs stop developing. So our baby has 24-week lungs, even though she's close to being 7 months old. So not 24-week lungs now, but pulmonary dysplasia. You know what I'm talking about. Thank God it's really the only issue she has. She had a G-tube done yesterday, gastrostomy, where we can feed her through a tube right into her belly, and that's to maximize her feedings because she needs to grow in order for the lungs to grow. It's a big domino effect, you know? So if she doesn't take all of her bottle, we just put the rest of the breast milk into the G-tube. Boom, it's in her stomach. She grows. Nutrients get to where they need to get to, and her lungs develop. And she'll get the trach tube out, hopefully, God willing, in a couple of years. You know, that's kind of how all that works. Medical science is amazing. I mean, those are people I'm happy that love their job. The ear, nose, and throat doctors, the pulmonary doctors, the gastro doctors, all of them. It's just, that's amazing. I mean, it's just medical science. It just blows my mind. I mean, you know, then they cut somebody open, they get inside there, they do what they got to do, stitch them up, and boom, back to normal, and everything's great. So the entire month of July, I was Mr. Mom. I mean, I was going to the grocery store once, sometimes twice a day, taking my kids to different vacation Bible school, taking them to Kings Island. And in the meantime, I would work on my business online. You know, I wasn't traveling. I didn't have any speaking gigs. I canceled a couple of them. And so I just was able to do what I could do. I couldn't even imagine that entire month of July. We don't have family that lives anywhere near us. And, you know, as much as we appreciate a meal here and there from somebody in our church or stopping by or offering to carpool the kids, you don't want to lean on people every day of your life because it's just, you know, you feel like a burden to them. You know, as much as they say, call me, call me, call me, it's, you know, they have their life and you want to be self-sufficient. There's something empowering about getting through a problem or a situation without being a victim. You know what I mean? It's okay to ask for help. Look, we had a bunch of meals dropped off and they always came at the right time. Always came at the right time whenever we needed it. And there was no shortage of people offering to cook a meal. But what we wanted to do was show that, and not for an ego thing, but, you know, it's a great lesson, especially for our children. You're not victims. You don't go through life being a victim. We continued with our life. And had I had a job, we would not have been able to give that example to our children. You know, oh, dad's got to go to work at 6. He doesn't get home till 6. My kids would have sat inside in 90-degree weather every day for the entire summer. They wouldn't have done anything because there was nobody here to entertain them, nobody here to take them anywhere. So I think about that, and I think, wow, that would have really sucked. You know, think about it. You're 13 years old, 10 years old, 9 years old. You live 15 minutes from one of the biggest amusement parks in the country, Kings Island. We're used to going there all the time, and now, you know, dad can't go because he's got this stupid job. Mom's on bed rest, so let's, you know, play another game of tiddlywinks and shuffling our thumbs around. There's only so much you can do. And look, these are third world problems. I get it. You know, a billion people slept on a dirt floor last night. Okay, so I'm not oblivious to what goes on in the rest of the world. I'm just kind of showing you, since we all, most of the people listening to this show, do not live in a third world country. You have running water. You have the ability to go do what it is you want to do and monetize your passion, but you're just too damn scared to do it because you think something's going to happen. You know, something, well, I don't know what. You're going to go broke. You're going to lose your health insurance. All of those things are, Mark Twain said, I've known a great many fears in my life, most of which never happened. You know, worry, it's a down payment on a problem that will probably never happen. You know what I mean? So you got to get rid of all that stuff going around in your mind, because what you're missing out on is what I'm telling you today. My wife was on bed rest, and then August 10th, her water broke. We had to rush her to the hospital via ambulance to UC Medical Center, where she sat there for 7 days and then delivered our baby at 24 weeks. And then that whole process began of going down to see her every single day. And then the kids go to school, and my wife had a C-section, couldn't really walk that well for a couple of weeks, so I had to take her to the hospital every day. And we went there to see our baby. All of this, and I never once had to ask for permission. I never once had to call my boss and say, I need this kind of leave or apply for this kind of family leave and whatever percentage of my salary gets paid to me. And then the guilt that every corporation gives you. I don't care how great you think your boss is. You take a few months off work, they're going to be calling, emailing. Hey, how's it going? Everything all right? You got any ETA as to when you think you're, you know, coming? Not, don't rush. Look, don't rush, because they got to be careful. Human resources, they can't be calling to rush you back. Or they're going to get a letter from an attorney saying, hey, you're harassing my client. They took family medical leave. So say, hey, let us know what we can do. Just kind of curious when you're coming back, you know? And you get the guilt factor, you know, you're not pulling your weight at work. And then something, money's going to run out from work, whether it's a medical leave or whether you just, you know, get the pink slip. I remember my mom, when she broke her hip, I was in the eighth grade. It was the Christmas of, I think it was 1981, and she broke her hip, just got up out of a chair. She was so brittle, and she just fell, broke her hip, and she was in a hospital bed in our living room for the holidays of 1981. And while she was in our living room after surgery, she received a pink slip from work. She was a nurse at a factory in Bradford, Pennsylvania. She had been there forever. And they laid her off. And you know what's coming after the layoff, right? The firing. Now, I don't know if they'd be able to do this to a, you know, a 52-year-old female in 2015. Maybe they can. I don't know. But they had no worries. They laid her off, and then she got shown the door while she was recovering from a broken hip. And this is a lady who used to hitchhike to work at 20 below zero with 10 feet of snow outside. I used to watch out the window because our car wouldn't start, and she would start hitchhiking. A mother of 8 kids, raised us by herself, you know. That's where I get my strong work ethic from, you know. And so she got laid off, and she gave everything she had to this company. And then she picked up another job at the Nursing Pavilion, and she would continue to work there until she had her stroke in 1988. And that was it. She never worked again after she had her stroke. So then my mom passed away in 1997. All right, at the young age of 69 years old, just cigarette in between her index and middle finger, watching TV in the living room Sunday, July 6th, and never woke up, just massive heart attack. And so when I think of all this, I think, wow, had I not had the freedom over the past 7 months to really be there for my family, it had nothing to do with money. You know, this is the plan that I put in place in 2005 when I went for my dream, a big, big dream. I mean, your dreams continue to grow. This new documentary film I'm putting together scares the crap out of me, but I'm going to do it. We're going to fund it with Kickstarter. I need your support. Make sure you opt in at everydaysaturday.com so you can be aware of the announcement. Go to facebook.com/onemorebreath, the number one, more breath. And that's our movement, and that's the crowdfunding campaign, and it really scares me a lot, but in a great way. That's how big your dream's got to be, man. It's got to shake you to your core. But this whole journey of One More Breath and our baby Susan and being now the father, the patriarch of a family of six is no joke, man. You got to bring your A game every day. You got to wake up early. You got to get after it in a big way. Still going to the gym and keep a healthy body, a healthy mind. You got to be there for your family. And all of this was as a result of just going for it. Because had I had a job, I'd be fat, overweight, stressed out, burnout, worried about everything going on at work, not being there mentally or physically for my family, and I don't even know how this thing would have ended up. I don't even know, quite honestly, and I don't want to paint this with a big dramatic brush. I don't know if my daughter would have made it. Because I was there with Angela every single day for that skin-to-skin contact, holding your baby, being there, speaking to your baby, loving her. Guys, that works. I'm telling you. It works. There's actually studies that show parents who are there, skin-to-skin contact, being there with their baby, have a greater opportunity to take their baby home healthy than parents who are not. So I never envisioned this journey 10 years ago, having a baby 16 weeks premature, born at 1 pound. But let me tell you something. God has a really interesting way of showing you where to go in your life, and you need to follow that plan because it's in your heart. Right now, it's there. And you know what I'm talking about. Whatever that is for you, whatever that dream is for you, if that dies, so much dies with you. You know, I mean, had I not gone after, every day is Saturday 10 years ago, the scenario I just painted the past 7 months wouldn't have gone the way it's gone and had a happy ending. Okay, it just wouldn't have. I know it wouldn't have. And it has nothing to do with money. I was able to work my online business online, obviously, it's an online business, from the internet, selling products and services and networking because I learned how to do it 10 years ago. Self-taught, just printed stuff off the internet, put it in the 3-ring binders at work, studied it on my lunch break, listened to motivational, inspirational audios like you're listening to right now, and it all prepared me for August of 2014. Make a promise to yourself. That's what commitment is. It's a promise you make to yourself. You're going to go for your dream, and you realize it has nothing to do with money. It has everything to do for a moment like this that's going to happen in your life very soon. You need to be there, and you need to be present. And you can't be present stuck in a job reporting to somebody else, building their dream for them. Capiche? It's Sam Crowley, host of the number one podcast, motivationally speaking, on the internet. Have the best day ever.
Thank you for listening to the Everyday is Saturday podcast. Still fired up and want more of Sam Crowley? Be sure to visit everydayissaturday.com. And don't forget to follow Sam on Twitter at Sam Crowley. Let Sam know you're listening. Use hashtag Everyday is Saturday.